have had five on their defense. Singletary has a hole, tries to make up some ground, and gets it. The ball comes out as he crossed the first down marker. He went one way, and the ball went the other way, and Washington has it.
Another Benjamin St. Juice takeaway might be just what the doctor ordered for the Commanders tonight. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Monday Night Football this evening. In fact, a Monday Night doubleheader. Game one, the Bills playing host to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And in game two, Washington at Cincinnati. That is why we are in the tri-state area. We're staying in Kentucky. We're going to the game in Cincinnati, and right now we're broadcasting at Dom's Watch Bar in Indiana. Lawrenceburg is where we are at the Sportsbook at the Hollywood Casino. By the way, we're eating, enjoying a lovely meal right now.
Oh, it's fantastic.
These wings are phenomenal. They were brought to me, I haven't mentioned this yet, by a robot.
A robot.
A robot brings you your food at this establishment.
It's like a Generation 1 Transformer.
This is a cool little spot, Tommy's found himself
like a little corner of the universe here
operating. Yeah, it's very, very cool. The sports book, we're in one of the only books in the tri-state area to feature games on Peacock and Amazon Prime, ESPN Plus, and they got great food. So you're already having, I know you're having this because you won't let me have any.
Right.
The potato skins.
Yeah.
What is that chicken sandwich you're working with?
That is a fried chicken sandwich. Okay. It's got, I forget what the dressing on it is, but it's very good. A little tomato. There's like a little bit of a hint of kind of like a green pepper sort of relish, a little remoulade kind of a word, but like it's fancy words. So it's not just a boring fried chicken sandwich. It's actually got something to it. It's very, very good. With some beer battered onion rings.
Darius and I are all in on attending the football game.
Yeah.
Danny could probably be convinced to stay. How about a $3 burger during the game tonight?
That's
a little bit of a show.
That's a bit of a show.
Wings down under a buck as well. Good situation here at Thom's.
A good spot.
Watch bar. We got to get Thommy on next hour to say hello to the people and to chat with.
The real ones know, as they say.
That's right. One of the OGs of the Grant and Danny radio program coming up in just a bit here on The Fan. You heard the Benjamin St. Juiced play being made on the way into the segment, though. He's an answer to this question pretty clearly. Phone lines open at 800-636-1067. Who do we think breaks out tonight? Who's going to have a big game for Washington?
So I'm going to start on the offensive side. If it happens, I could see this being that Noah Brown. How about this story? Noah Brown also at Ohio State, coming back to where he his roots. He was the highest touted recruiting member of the recruiting class of Urban Meyer's group that includes multiple NFL players, right? He could have a huge, huge, huge game. If a lot of attention is being paid underneath to Ertz and Eckler and McLaurin and Brian Robinson and company, maybe Noah Brown catches that home run ball. Maybe he gets loose in the secondary with a little freight train or a shimmy shingle and getting himself down the football field for a long touchdown. I could see Noah Brown having a big one.
Yeah, I could see that as well, because we saw at the very end of the second game of the season, his season debut, going back to the home game and the win against the Giants now, on 8 days ago, Noah Brown became the guy that Jaden Daniels was confident in feeding on those inbreakers in the second half of the game. So why not go back to him with his size, especially if the Bengals' plan, like we've seen over the last couple of weeks, is to make sure that Terry McLaurin doesn't get going. If you're trying to take him away, which I think the Giants largely did, the only way he was really involved at all was underneath, at or around the line of scrimmage, behind the line of scrimmage, then that means someone should come free, and I think Noah Brown could be that guy, right? So, number one, I would say I'm with you on Noah Brown. Because I've already seen him start to emerge, I'll throw out a bit of a wild card. Where's De'Ami Brown been? We saw him have a couple of nice catches on screens early against the Giants, set up a first down. I think both of his grabs were on the first two drives of the game. Remember when De'Ami Brown was a big thing in the preseason? He was the most targeted player, the leader with catches in terms of their first-team offense. This is an annual tradition now where he has these great training camps. He has these impressive preseasons. We're told this time's going to be different, and then the regular season starts and he doesn't really do much. There's really no reason for it this year. There's nobody that's been blocking him. And maybe he gets supplanted by Brown on the depth chart. But if they're going to line up and spread, to help protect their offensive line a little bit, to help ID some things for Jaden Daniels so he knows where pressure's coming from. And they're going to screen people to death and throw the ball around the line of scrimmage, which Daniels has done at about a 4-to-1 rate over the average NFL quarterback on targets of wide receivers behind the line of scrimmage. How is De'Ami Brown not more involved? That is something that he does pretty well.
Yeah, I think you already said it. I think he's been supplanted already. I was trying to look up just now what his snap counts were from weeks one to weeks two. And my guess is that, you know, he's now at 63%, give or take, on the field, second to guys like McLaurin and company. But I bet you that's trending downwards where it comes to certain packages and, you know, maybe three receiver looks of different kinds of varieties. A lot of these guys are interchangeable. But
don't you agree that with him, it takes one play to impact the game? I mean, he runs a lot of vertical stuff. He does, like, he had the 75-yard touchdown catch in his breakout game that was never replicated again with Carson Wentz.
The game, yeah.
Two catches for 30-plus, two touchdowns. Like, he doesn't have to run 40 plays. I mean, just do something. Where are you?
Yeah, I joke about this, but I sort of think there's some truth to it. I think he just has the rep as a deep threat because that's what he did at North Carolina. I don't know that he's actually that great of a deep threat. You know, I think they probably think we've got a better version of that because, you know, obviously you saw him in the preseason win vertically and make that great catch on the Jaden Daniels audible at the line. But I don't know. I don't know that they view him that way. Like the analogy I always use, and I know people are sick of it if they've ever listened to the show, but I'll never forget, I was running around the track upstairs during GW's basketball practice, and Tom Penders stopped the practice and said to this one guy, "I don't know who told you you were a shooter, but shooters make shots. You're just a guy that takes shots. You have to do something else in order to play for me," right? And that's what I think of, where we just say De'Ami Brown's a deep threat. Well, I know he caught that deep pass that time, but maybe he's got to do better at some other stuff. Maybe it's as a blocker. Maybe it's as a guy that you're talking about with some screens or some shorter things. He's got to improve that part of his game to maybe get on the field. I don't know, just a thought.
I don't mean to pick on the analogy because I know, you know, that's not the point, but I think it kind of makes my point. Shooting is not dependent. You just shoot and you make the shot or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
De'Ami Brown catching a deep pass takes so much. And
of
I think
course,
that's where
course.
It's complicated,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, like, of course it is.
We don't know how often he gets open, how often he runs the perfect route, how often they should have thrown it to him and they elected not to, how often he's been open and was targeted and for whatever reason the ball didn't get there,
yep.
how often he wasn't targeted. So I think the question's really good. I don't have a good answer for you. I think the point, though, and all that matters is – it doesn't matter if he is or is not a deep threat, if he's not catching passes.
Mm-hmm.
And we could say, is he good at it? Is he not at it? Maybe he's the best at it. When you have done it once ever, it doesn't really matter. You could be the best at something all
yep.
you want to. They have not found a way for that to translate to games. But I'm not saying it has to be a home run. I just would like to see him do something tonight that benefits them, that helps them. Because, again, we heard something all off season. You know, he had this hour-long YouTube that he put out. The open of it is like Rick Snyder talking about him for like 15 seconds, and some production team made this like hour-long feature on him. There was just so much hype just a couple weeks ago. And now a guy who's been here for 3 hours who was cut by the Texans has moved ahead of him on the depth chart, and I'm watching Jamison Crowder and Olamide Zaccheaus, you know, out-target him. I'm curious where he is. The running backs have both broken out already, so you can't say that they're going to have a bigger night than they have in the case of Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler. Anybody else, though, outside of the two receivers you and I have chosen to say tonight could be the night? We've seen almost nothing from Ben Sinnott. He's mostly been used as a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
If Ertz is healthy, you know he's going to be featured. I think he'll be their leading targeted pass catcher, their leader in catches probably again tonight. The offense seems to go through him, especially down the field. But what about somebody else, Sinnott or otherwise?
Luke McCaffrey's the name that comes to mind, right? As a guy that we saw last week, hey, he's been open a bunch. And that's not anecdotal. That is, according to, you know, next-gen stats and pro football folks and people that chart these sorts of things, I bet you that the really smart folks that you know, are running things here notice that too. Right, whether it was a Daniels problem, a Kingsbury problem, whether it was, you know, a Tavita Pritchard, whoever along the line wasn't necessarily saying, "Hey, we should target this player." I don't know if Daniels missed him 8 times. I don't know if we won't know. Right,
what the directive was. Tavita Pritchard catching a straight.
Well, I'm just saying we have no idea.
The old quarterbacks coach.
We have no idea if it was, "Hey, look for this. If it's not there, do X." We don't know. But I think that goes, that gets noticed when a guy is winning and doesn't get targeted, where you go, well, maybe we should target him sometimes, give him a chance because he is winning. He is doing what we're asking him to do, and we haven't gotten the football yet. Maybe that's an advantage. Maybe that's a way to open other things up as well. So that could be somebody that goes from having not much to a few targets.
Defensive side of the ball. Commanders, Bengals tonight. Given some thoughts on players that we think have a chance to break out for Washington pending this matchup and based maybe on, you know, who's on the field on the other side of the ball. You can call us at 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. It's about time that John Allen or Daron Payne do something. Now, I am not going to sit here and pretend like they haven't been playing hard and playing well. They both got chipped a lot, doubled a lot last week. It seemed like the plan for the Giants was, let's not let Washington's interior rush beat us. Let's make their edges get home. And mostly, Cleveland Farrell, despite two sacks through two games, has not really mounted much of a pass rush at all. Both of those sacks were huge plays by Payne, where the quarterback kind of tried to avoid him and ran into Farrell. Haven't noticed Dante Fowler much. Jamin Davis wasn't even active last week, so clearly the edge has been a problem. But I do think it's time, and I don't mean like where you guys at as much as there's a number that they're going to get to, and it's kind of almost like a regression to the mean, positively in this case. I think it's time that we see a sack for Allen or Payne or a couple of big-time pressures, some TFLs. Like, those guys are playing at a decent enough level that being blanked on the stat sheet other than tackles just isn't going to sustain. So I would not be surprised at all if they combine tonight for like a sack and a half, a couple TFLs. There's only a matter of time before they start to put up some numbers.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, that it's, we always think about pass rush in terms of sacks and you know, some of the quantifiable stats we've got now, but I always view it as waves crashing on the shore. It's not one wave that made the sand erode, right? It's not one wave that you know, got rid of the beach town. It's that constant pressure, that process of pressure that eventually leads to the good results, right? And, you know, there were years, and I point this out all the bleeping time, especially when it comes to John Allen, every metric other than sacks, he had a great season. Ended up, I think it was 2.5 sacks one year. And everyone went, what's wrong with John Allen? And I said, beat this drum. If you replay that season with those same metrics, he would have 8 or 9 sacks, and he had 9 sacks the following season because that's who he is. We're in that the valley moment right now for him, right, where he's going to keep crashing on the shore. He'll have his 2-sack game. He'll have his 1.5 and a TFL and you know, a pass batted down, something like that. Too good of a player not to make an impact. And they haven't made a statistical counting impact yet, but we're talking about Allen and Payne. I do think that's coming, and I hope it's tonight.
Yeah, the metrics you're referencing are like the precursors. Right? Like in baseball, if you're not allowed to see someone's home runs, the best thing you could probably do is to say, okay, I want to look at their exit velocity and launch angles.
Yeah, give me a hard hit percentage, launch angle, everything else, and I bet you eventually this dude homers.
How often do you hit a rocket in the air? I got a pretty good way now to determine how many home runs you have. And I'm not going to get it to the number, obviously, but you know, you can get in the vicinity. And when you look at Allen and Payne, their pass rush win rates are really good even this year. Last week, the story was, man, the Giants really paid a lot of attention to these guys. I don't know if that's an Allen or Payne thing or if that's an NFL thing. I think teams are getting smarter. We've talked so much about the changes in the league over the first couple of weeks, although it did seem like yesterday, you know, things opened up a little
bit. Yeah, numbers got back up a little
bit. We had 4 300-yard passers. I think we had 8 or 9 guys go for 250 or more through the air. So it was definitely a more traditional passing weekend around the Having said that, I do think on the other side with, like, D tackles, if I'm a coordinator calling plays, right now, I'm probably prioritizing keeping everything clean in front of my quarterback on the interior than the edges, because quarterbacks are getting so athletic. So many of them can run. So many of them can get out of the pocket. There's only a few guys that are immobile, and you know where they're going to be all the time. I can run away from that pressure that comes from the side. When you come right at me, my first step is backwards. Now I'm panicking in the pocket and doing my, you know, breaking down. And next thing you know, I'm getting swallowed up like a surfer in a wave, right? I think that's what happened with the Giants. Maybe it's that they just thought Allen and Payne are so much better than everyone else, we got to pay them attention. There's probably some of it, because that's definitely the strength of Washington's defense. But I really do think this is something that's going to happen every week. It's just the way the league is trending.
Yeah, I mean, you could pick your sport. The let's try not to let the best player beat us. That's pretty tried and true. That's the thing. You know, we're always trying to look that way. So if I'm an offensive coordinator, I don't know if John Allen and Daron Payne are as good as, you know, you could pick Dexter Lawrence or, you know, how good Aaron Donald was or a number of those guys. And that's not the point. But the point is they're better than Cleveland Farrell. They're better than Dante Fowler. They're better than Javonte Jean-Baptiste. So that's where I'll focus my attention, right? If I've got to have a plan where I need to caution against something, that's who I'm going to take care of first and second. One and 1A are those two guys. Once that's done, I'll leave someone on an island against Jean-Baptiste. I'll leave someone on an island against Jamin Davis if he's active, right? I mean, to me, this is pretty standard. And I'm with you. I think we're going to expect it all season long.
We're live all over D.C. on 106.7. We're live in Richmond on AM 910, FM 105.1. Of course, wherever you're at on the Odyssey app, and you can stream our show on video, even out on the road, as we're at Thom's Watch Bar here. We are streaming on YouTube on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube channel. I'm looking in the YouTube chat here. First of all, somebody loves your shirt, Danny.
Yes.
That is the old John Allen on the Junkies Tired of This Bleep shirt,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it is.
Million, though, on the YouTube chat says, Allen and Payne need to disrupt Joe Burrow tonight, need to disrupt the Bengals. They just can't keep saying we're getting double-teamed. Find a way. There's something to that.
I agree with that.
You know, like,
it's a little bit tough guy talk, but at the same time, like, sorry.
That's what I struggle with, though. I hate the tough guy routine. I hate that shtick because it's not an excuse. It is a reason. It is not an excuse. It is an explanation. They're not T.J. Watt. I'm sorry. They're not Myles Garrett. So if your retort is, well, T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett get doubled, yeah, they're the best in the world. They win DPOY awards. These guys don't. They're just Pro Bowlers. They're just pretty good. They're just very, very solid. But I also get that from a fan where you're going, hey, man, I'm sorry about the occasional double team that you deal with as a several million dollar a year player who's the best player on my team. But I lose if you can't do more, so I need you to find a way to do more.
Yeah, and I don't think the expectation is 3 sacks a week. Nobody's saying set an all-time record, but you can't have zero.
Like, hit someone.
I mean?
Hit a quarterback.
Yeah, where's my tip pass? Like, you get double teamed, where are two paws in the air? Daron Payne won them a game last year doing that thing against Atlanta. They probably should lose if he doesn't get his right pinky on a football for an interception at the goal line. Right? I mean, my point is, where is my impact at all? I'm with that. So I know, again, I can't stand the sentiment behind, you make $20 million a year, dominate. Okay, I understand why we're not getting that, but at the same time, you make $20 million a year, man. You got to do something. Give me some impact.
If the point is, I'd like to notice you, right? I'd like to see you change the game on one play. Doesn't have to be a pick. Doesn't have to be a sack fumble. But like, you should be able to end a drive with a pressure where you're at Burrow's feet and he rushes and he throws an incompletion. That doesn't look like a big deal, but you force the punt. Like, give me one or two of those. Just be present and make it loud. Be part of the equation. They definitely need those guys to do that tonight. Jaden Daniels, first game in primetime. Next, let's get into what we're expecting from the rookie former Heisman Trophy winner last year at LSU as he makes his Monday Night Football debut. We'll predict Jaden Daniels' stat line next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
I mean, it's special, obviously, be able to play one this early, just coming off my first actual game, the first home opener, now first Monday night game. So it's going to be special, but at the end of the day, it's another game. He's just playing later on in the week.
It's a good mindset to keep yourself grounded, to keep yourself from getting overly anxious if you're Jaden Daniels. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan in D.C. and in Richmond on the Odyssey app. And streaming via video on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. 23-year-old Jaden Daniels will turn 24 just before Christmas. Game number 3 for him. He comes into this contest, Danny. I love that answer. I played my first game.
Yep.
Nervous about that, I'm sure. Then I played my first home game. First opportunity to play in front of the home crowd. Now it's my first Monday night game. There's always going to be firsts for him. You just got to try to. It's like a Hoosier scene, man. Try to tell yourself it's the same game.
Yeah, it's a 10-foot rim, 94-foot court, the whole deal.
Tonight, there's going to be a few more eyeballs watching him, which has normally meant big things in his career. So I'm going to give you his lines in his first two games, and I want to try to predict what we think he's going to do tonight. In week 1 at Tampa, The big story was how much he ran. You'll remember 16 attempts, like he was a featured tailback, 88 yards, and two rushing touchdowns. He fumbled three times in that game. He threw 17 of 24 through the air, 71%, 184 yards. Week two against the Giants, toned down the rushing a little bit, 10 carries, 44 yards. They kept him in check. He was 23 of 29 passing. They opened things up big time in the second half. Really, the second half, I thought he was pretty dynamic throwing the football. 226 yards. He does not have a touchdown on the season. Hopefully that changes tonight. He does not have an interception. Ideally, that doesn't change tonight. So let's go category by category here. What are you thinking for rushing attempts for Jaden Daniels?
I think 10 rushing attempts is the kind of the sweet spot, the kind of that magic number. I think that's a handful of scrambles. I think a handful of designed. Hopefully they get rid of some of those power middle type runs for him. I'd like those for now ripped right out of the playbook, but you know, you got maybe got to do it to keep somebody honest. But I think right around that 9 or 10 rushing total, I think is the right amount.
I'm going to take the over tonight. Sometimes that can be based on a perceived like pass rush matchup I don't like. I honestly just think it's a let's show the country who I am kind of vibe. Let's take off and go. Let's make some plays. I'm going to say he runs the ball 13 times tonight. I think we split the difference between the first two games. How many rushing yards for Jaden Daniels this evening?
36. I think it's going to be a...
Oh, so 10 for 36 is a quiet night.
I think it's going to be mission critical for Cincinnati. I think they're not dumb. I think they're going to say, you are not going to beat us that way. We're going to challenge you, whether it's a spy, whether it's coverages, where they're not going to have many man looks, where guys have their heads turned. I think people are going to stay disciplined, stay in rush lanes, do what the Rams a few years ago did to Kyler Murray, which is you stay in the pocket and you beat us from there.
I think it's a 100 rushing yard night for Jaden Daniels.
That would be way different than what I'm saying.
I am going to say 101 rushing yards on 13 attempts. I think he mixes in like a 37-yard run or a 39-yard run. Or something like that, some kind of big play. Again, the only script for me to Washington staying in the game is him playing some Foo Fighters' There Goes My Hero music.
Great reference.
And just starting to sprint all over the yard. And I kind of envision him doing that as the game goes on. So I will say, you know, we saw him go for 88. Three fewer carries, maybe 12 to 15 more yards. A little more efficiency because I think he will have the longest yard run of his season. His long... So far has been 17. I think he surpasses that tonight. How about on the passing front? Does he throw his first touchdown tonight?
Yes. Yes, he does. I think it's a check down where the running back makes the play, or maybe it's a little swing pass, but it's Eckler, Robinson, something like that out there on the flat.
I think he has one touchdown tonight rushing and one passing. I'll say he hits Zach Ertz in the middle of the field for a 9-yard touchdown. Comes free, back of the end zone, makes a leaping catch, gets his feet in. Jaden Daniels has his first passing touchdown in the league. So I'm going one touchdown. I will say he also gets intercepted for the first time.
I think so, too.
And I think he has his first interception tonight. How about you?
I do, too. I am with that. Because, again, the way I see the – I'm thinking of game script, right? That's how I'm sort of leading these predictions and thoughts, is Cincinnati's going to say, you are throwing the football. This is what's going to happen. Good, bad, and different, that's how we're going to deal with it. I think they've got some playmakers on the back end that will take it away, whether it's an errant pass, whether it's a one of these receivers isn't open, he tries to shoehorn it in there, whether it's something tipped. I do think a pick comes today, which is normal, but I do think it finally happens.
You think they're good enough stopping the run to have a bunch of success against Washington doing that? Because I do think that's what they'd like to do. And if you look at it so far this season, they've been pretty good in that area. They're number six against the run. But the Chiefs got what they wanted to with Pacheco, then he got hurt. Week before that, they did a really good job on the Patriots, and that was a similar plan. Like, it's not going to be the run. Jacoby Brissett's going to have to make some plays. And they shut the Patriots' offense down. The big difference to me is Brissett, actually, if you look at that game, scrambled around a lot.
Yep.
Like, actually, there was a lot of room for him to run, and that's part of why I like the Jaden Daniels lines and hammering some overs on his yardage props, which we'll get into when we do the FanDuel over and unders a little later in the show. But for the record, they are 18th against the run per play. They're 6th overall defensively. They're 4th against the pass. So the Bengals have actually done a much better job against the pass, where they're top seven interception rate, than they've been against the run. I think they know they need to stop the run. I just think that's easier said than done when you got to go 11-on-11 account for Daniels, and Kingsbury's getting matchup problems with numbers based on how he aligns things, how he keeps the defense on the field and spreads you out and then brings you back in with like extra tight ends. I kind of think Washington's going to be able to run the ball.
So if they do, it's going to go a lot different than I think, right? I mean, to me, this is one of those Cincinnati's defense is good enough to take something away. I think there's three tiers of defense. One, great defense that you can barely move the ball against. There aren't many of those left. Two, good enough above a threshold where we could take something away and force you into a certain kind of style. If you've got answers on both ends, then we're screwed. Then there's that terrible defense, and we know something about that here in Washington. But I think Cincinnati can come up with a game plan enough, and they've got enough horses to be able to go, we can play slightly differently, knowing we're so good on the back end. We'll take you away. We'll deal with it if you have to drop back and throw the ball. They're going to sell out, I think, which they haven't done to this point this year. I would have done it against New England week one, by the way. But who knows how real or fraudulent that result was. But I think you could say, we're going to make it so that you have to pass on second and third down. That is our plan. And if you'd like to run it on those downs, you're going to run into a brick wall. We're going to stack boxes. We're going to be a pain in the butt to take away the thing that we know you like doing and are comfortable doing. If you could do something that you're uncomfortable doing and haven't proved you've done to this point, we'll tip our cap at the end of this one.
All right, so then let's do this. You're saying run gets stopped, they dare you to throw it. He was 17 of 24 against the Bucs. He was 23 of 29 against the Giants. You kind of see the formula. They want to keep him under 30 passes. You're now playing a really good opponent. You're a heavy underdog. You might be trailing by a bunch. You might have to throw it a lot. Does he throw it over 30 times for the first time?
I don't think so. I don't think we quite get there. There's going to be a lot of square peg, round hole. I see it like a 17 for 28 kind of game for about 155. Missed opportunities maybe here and there, but I don't see the downfield passing game materializing.
So 155, by the way, would be his lowest passing total of the season.
Yes.
And you also have them losing. We haven't given your full prediction, but I could just tell from this script you're writing, you've got them losing sizably, I would say. So what's interesting to me about that, from a game script standpoint, if you're down by a lot, I would think his numbers would be higher just because he's throwing in garbage time. You still don't even see the garbage time production.
Yeah, the garbage time against Tampa, I think, was just that. And, you know, you count it. Obviously, it's on your stat sheet.
But so you think this looks more like that? Because to be clear, the first week, their passing offense was horrific.
For three quarters.
And Daniels throwing the football, I don't mean to say, like, mechanically was bad. I'm not talking about, like, a miss of Terry McLaurin. But just generally, There was
nothing to their pass offense. That's okay to say.
He didn't even really try to throw the football.
Right.
He just dropped back and ran it. You think it'll look more like that than week two in the second half where they actually did find something?
Yeah, because I think that's a Giants boost. I don't think that's coming this week. So to me, this is we're going to try to open it up a little bit because we feel like we've built something and Cincinnati's going to feast a little bit more. That's where I see the turnovers. That's where I see some pressure. That's where I see some, you know, some confusion and, you know, more incompletions because he's thrown for, 70-some-odd percentage completion percentage. That's not sustainable. When you actually have some more high-risk passing, which I think Cincinnati is going to try to force you to do, there are going to be misses. There are going to be tip passes. There's going to be members of the secondary driving on balls and the like. You're not just going to roll through at 75% for the entire season. I think this is one of those nights where it dips a little bit.
So I'm going to say he's 20 for 30 for 210 yards. And I think that a good majority of the production, like against the Giants, will come later in the game probably. But I think it is the most passing attempts because I also think they're going to be chasing the game a little bit. And I think he's going to have to, you know, it's a lot of Austin Ekeler. Like, to me, over in receiving yards for Austin Ekeler, probably a good bit of Brian Robinson out of the backfield as well. But I like him to end up throwing enough in the second half that the numbers end up being pretty respectable in that 20 for 30 range for about 210 yards. But it sounds like neither of us are that different on Jaden Daniels other than I'm expecting a much bigger night running the football, it sounds like, than you are.
Yeah, I just don't see the success. I think that big week, I think it's going to be more like Tampa when it comes to running the ball. Remember, Robinson was 12 for 40. We weren't singing anybody's praises then.
Right, I don't think he's going to run it that great. I'm just saying I think Daniels – now, they will play him differently than they played Brissett. I guess it's possible they just thought Brissett would be a cinder block-footed pocket quarterback. But when you watch that game, and maybe I'm just thinking too much about that, but I went back this week and watched that first game, Jacoby Brissett would pull the ball down, and there would be a lot of space. Mm-hmm. And if they're playing the same things, then maybe you don't play as much, say, man against a guy like Jaden Daniels. You're going to play more zone or something because you don't want to turn and burn with your back to him. But against the Patriots, they really clearly didn't care that much about that, and they gave a lot of space that could be exploited.
Yeah, I would say maybe there's a little bit too much weight on you know, a week one result that was stunning and shocking and weird. But, yeah, I understand the point there. I mean, I look at it this way. If I'm a smart coach and I'm looking at Washington, what's going to kill me? It's all things running the football. That's what I'm concerned with stopping 1, 2, and 3. That includes Jaden Daniels. That includes Brian Robinson. And when Eckler's in the game, it includes him. So I'm going to sell out to stop that. If they beat me with a group of receivers that I think is among the worst in the league, if they beat me with a tight end that is a catch-and-fall guy at this point in Zach Ertz, if they're able to get the football down the field by dropping back in the pocket and picking me apart, I'll adjust accordingly, I suppose, but I'm not confident in that. I don't think so. The same way, if I'm going into week one, Jacoby Brissett running around like he's, early 2000s Michael Vick isn't on my bingo card. It happened, and they got beat doing that, but it wouldn't like to give up a million points. I don't know. I just maybe I give enough credit here to Cincinnati going, we've got the access to the same game field everyone else does. It's pretty clear what their strength is, talking about Washington's. Let's make that hard for them, whereas the Giants didn't have that card in the bag.
Sure,
I don't think.
They just have to be able to execute their plan.
Which is hard to do.
And they've given up the 29th most yards per game in the NFL. It's mm-hmm. only been two games, but about 160 rushing yards per game at this point for the Bengals. I'll tell you what I think is going to wreck the game ultimately is Trey Hendrickson, who is just Ryan Kerrigan reincarnate.
Yep.
I don't know if anybody's noticed this. He wears 91. He is a big, strong defensive end.
You could come on, say the other thing.
He looks like Ryan Kerrigan a little bit.
In kind of like what way do you mean?
Like his hair. They both flex after. Okay, he's white.
Ah,
is that what you want me to say?
He's a white.
Yes,
it's okay.
But
it's okay to say he's
just
a white.
He looks exactly like.
No, their games are similar. This is not a speed rusher.
I think he has a high motor.
Yes.
He's sneaky athletic.
Oh, now you're doing bits.
Okay.
Which, by the way, are good bits. I'm tipping the cap to you. But he is sneaky athletic.
Trey Hendrickson.
He's a hustle player.
He just constantly.
He's a gym rat. We say that.
I'm sure.
No, I mean, listen, but it's the same kind of rush, right? It's not like Kerrigan was never going to be the speed rush champion, right? He's not doing that knee bend, get around the curve type deal. And Hendrickson's got sort of the same proclivities.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Our double play comes your way next. We are out and about on the road with our buddies Condori and Murad, the law firm that sponsors this show. We are at the game tonight in Cincinnati. We're broadcasting live in Indiana at Thom's Watch Bar. Our old buddy Tom Daly's.
By God, that's Thommy's music.
Next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. With a rookie quarterback leading the way, the local footballers have a bright future. It's time for you to plan your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Condori and Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament. They will set up a trust for you or your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. They are good dudes. We've been kicking it with them the last couple of days. We're going to the game with them tonight. They brought us with them on the road for their annual kind of friends and family company trip out here to Cincinnati. We've been having a blast. We were at a tour of Great American Ballpark today. We were pickleballing with them late in the evening last night.
Indeed.
We're going to be enjoying ourselves at Commanders Bengals in just a bit. It is time, though, for our double play, driven by our local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal. Rugged and capable Honda pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. So we're doing the show today, not from Cincinnati,
mm-mm-mm,
and not from where we're staying, right across the bridge in Kentucky.
Mm-mm-mm.
I didn't know how this worked, but now I do.
We do now.
From Indiana.
By God.
We're
it's
in Lawrenceburg.
Tri-state area.
That voice, ladies and gentlemen, making his triumphant
return. Look at that. Look at this. We're standing. We're all standing.
This is unnecessary.
Tom Daly, ladies and gentlemen.
The return.
We're at Thom's Watch Bar enjoying ourselves. And Thommy is the manager of this here sports book, calling the shots. He is also providing great hospitality, taking good care of his boys today. It has been too long, sir.
Yeah, some would actually call this place a Penn play destination, but that's just me being a company man. First of all, thanks to you guys for coming out and joining us in this beautiful, illustrious part of the country. You know, it's weird to see that this room isn't full right now because everybody's lining up to come to Lawrenceburg, Indiana. But it's nice to have you guys here, and
You live in Kentucky.
I guess we want to talk David Bell, right?
Yes.
That's what we want to talk about.
David Bell getting fired is definitely where we led the show. So you live in Kentucky.
Yeah.
But work in Indiana.
I work in Indiana.
So when you first told me, like, and I was like, Tom, I think we should come out and be at Tom's Watch Bar. And you're like,
By the way, that's not the official name.
It is not.
I think the general manager of the property would disagree that I'm putting my name on this place. It's just called The Sportsbook.
The Sportsbook.
Which Sportsbook?
Right.
The.
Yes. The one. For you, like, initially, was that jarring? I mean, the idea yesterday that I walked from my hotel to the Reds game in two states, it's not like a Virginia-Maryland thing. I don't know why.
No.
It's so weird, though. It's just different.
It feels a lot closer. And I was trying to explain it to you when we were talking and setting this up. I was saying, look, you think it's three states, but it's really just like 20 minutes. You'll be at the ballpark in no time.
And also, there's no traffic here.
No traffic. Every day, 25 minutes. It doesn't matter what time you leave. It's great. And neighbors that I live with, by the way, the neighborhood's a whole nother thing. We'll have to get into that. Like,
okay.
When you guys got nothing going
like
on.
Like a good thing or a bad thing?
It's literally like it should be a Real Housewives. Like it should be the Real Housewives of Ballyshannon. but nonetheless, I forget what I was saying. Someone quit their job in my neighborhood and was telling me that a 22-minute commute was too long and I cannot work at this place anymore. 22 minutes.
Adorable, isn't it? So I was saying this earlier. Darius, I take the
gave
Uber
up
from,
income yeah. for 22 minutes.
We took our Uber from the airport to the hotel, and our Uber driver, bless her heart, she's like, guys. Like she's about to let us know that a pet had died.
Right,
you know,
right.
You guys were about to hit some traffic. She tapped the brake pad once, you know, like, and we slowed down from cruising speed, took about, you know, 30, 45 seconds.
And cruising speed out here is about 90
yeah.
miles.
And then we got that going again, and it was no problem. She sighed a few different times. It was so apologetic. And I'm like, you sweet summer baby, you have no idea.
No idea.
So how have you enjoyed, for those of you that are newer to the show.
Yes.
Thom was one of the OG Grant and Danny producers. He worked with us on our show for better part pre-COVID, really, up until COVID. For
6 years?
It feels longer.
About?
I mean, I was with the radio station for 12 years.
Yeah.
So I was with you guys most of the time. I started off with, Overtime with Bill Rowland. Mm-hmm. Got to start
right.
somewhere.
We did that,
With Danny. And then I went to LeVar and Dukes, and then I was on Grant and Danny till the end.
So all the way up till COVID. And then, really, it's weird when you think about it, because we went months without seeing him and Dar, who were still working the show in the studio. We're in our basements, basically. He comes out to the Cincinnati tri-state area. Dar ends up, during that same time, no longer on the show. So it was a huge transition period. We haven't seen him since. Coming out here is awesome to get to catch up with you. But you get into the sportsbook game out here. I remember talking to you right away. And you were already enjoying, like, betting and stuff.
I don't know
as
if you
was.
Guys remembered this about me, but I am a degenerate.
Right?
Okay, I guess I can't say that anymore.
You used to drive.
Yeah.
Before, like, Virginia, Maryland, people forget. Thom would go to the same place and get breakfast.
Every Saturday morning.
And sit in a parking lot to put his bets in.
Well, at first I was going to Charlestown.
Charlestown races and
which
stats.
Is a sister property of Lawrenceburg here, Hollywood Casino. And then when I'm not going to say it, but one of the companies got on West Virginia, and I realized if I go to the McDonald's in Harper's Ferry and I sit there, as long as I have everything prepared, I had it down to like a 35-minute run. It took an hour to get there, but I could get all my bets in for the entire weekend for 35 minutes. So, yeah.
It's so funny that it feels like 30 years ago, and so much has changed. But I still remember that conversation where Thom's like, we're all talking about what bets we would put in. He's like, I got this, this, and this. And I'm like,
how did
you
do that? What is that?
And he's like, do you want me to? I'm going there on Saturday morning.
Yeah, every Saturday.
What's your bookie's name, McDonald's?
So it was a natural transition of sorts.
Yeah. So it was super easy. I did have a semi-retirement when I first moved out here because we moved out here because my wife got a job. And I decided to just not work for about 8 months. And then my dad had to come out here and have the conversation with me of, hey, bud, I think it's time you go back to work.
And is that a real thing that happened?
It's 100% true.
Yeah.
And then I go, you know what? Maybe I should go and do something. Because all I was doing was just sitting out here in my sweatpants and betting. Right? Because Indiana.
That sounds like an amazing life.
It was an easy transition because then instead of going to West Virginia, I just had to do the same thing and come to Indiana. So then I was like, you know, maybe you're right. I got a job being an hourly employee, literally cooking up bets for people. And this was back in the day when Ohio and Kentucky wasn't open. So we were the only game in town for a little while. And when that happened, the line was out the door. It was max capacity from as soon as we opened up all the way to Sunday night football.
Wow.
So it was just working all day long. But then, you know, you just kind of go up.
So what's the vibe on the Bengals around town right now? It just seems like the fans are like talk about them like we talk about the Commanders. They're bummed.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. And people out here identify with Commanders fans because they see the struggle that Commanders fans are going through and what they used to go through as the Bengals. So a lot of it, like when I'm wearing the jersey, every Thursday, you know, Sunday, Monday, you wear the jersey here. It's part of the deal. And people never say anything negative. They're always like, hey, you'll get there someday. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, I feel for
you. He's rocking burgundy and gold today. Mm-hmm. He's wrapping the locals.
Yeah, so it's a lot of the same, but, you know, it's just like what you guys are hearing when the Commanders are bad.
Yeah.
People are just, they're 0-2, it's over.
But there's no quiet confidence given, like, the recent years where they've started off poorly, and then when Burrow's healthy, now that's an F,
right.
But they rip through people. They're one of the best teams in the league when things are right.
Well, you know how it is. People are just, they're getting inside of themselves as fans, so they're overthinking the Ja'Marr Chase situation.
Yeah.
They're overthinking T. Higgins, and they're kind of seeing the writing on the wall of, well, if we don't get these guys and we don't have anybody coming in, it's going to be Burrow and Zach Moss and a couple other people, a bunch of wide receivers, you can't say their last names, but they catch touchdowns every week. What's that guy's name with an I? They can't say it. He catches a touchdown every week. So
yeah, I got it.
People just get discouraged, just like Commanders fans.
Speaking of discouraged, I was discouraged by the fact that in D.C., we don't have the technology apparently you have out here. Bella, robot who delivers food. What in the hell is that about?
I don't know. It was one of these things where, you know, the family recently grew. My wife and I had a child. So I
took boy, Tom.
Thank you.
Father.
I thought we were going to start there, but we had to start with David Bell. So I come back and there's just a robot that works here now. I was off for 3 months and then I come back and it's got eyes and it's got a name and it's delivering food.
And it talks, by the way.
It talks to you, tells you when it's coming around the corner. But I will say there's a couple foosball tables over here and Bella did her best Lawrence Taylor impression. She had a tray full of food and she trucked this foosball table about as fast as you could go. I mean, you could put a jersey on this thing, and it could be middle line.
Getting around the edge a little bit.
We needed one of those in town for a couple of years. We did bury the lead, but before we let you go, we should say congrats. 4 months now of being
amazing,
a father?
Buddy.
Just about, yeah.
Papa Thom.
Yeah, never thought I'd see it.
I'm telling you, there is a huge grown-up leveling up for Thommy. The way
That's
he was talking
right.
about, like, the exposure of this and the book does that and the overlay is just like just a company man,
he's
an
boss?
Industry guy. He's a dad. He's a boss.
Yeah, thank
love
you.
It, dude. Thriving.
No longer pressing buttons anymore.
Thom making it happen in the tri-state area.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with
please
tri-state.
Remember, it's a tri-state area. And also, if you're ever trying to watch The Bachelor or any football game, there will be a wind warning on your local channels all the time, and it's the most frustrating thing. They wait till the final rose on The Bachelor, and they'll go womp, 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 womp. Like, she'll be standing there thinking about it for an hour, right? And then it'll be right when she's about to say a name, womp, 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 and wind warning. Okay, my house isn't going to blow over. Okay.
You're probably okay.
Yeah, what are the little pigs over
so
here?
So
1 minute
to go tonight, Burrow has the football.
Yeah, watch it. See if you can watch it on Channel 9 locally.
On
here.
Local.
Amazing. Well, thank you for having us. This has been awesome, and you're taking great care of us. We appreciate
you. Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you, buddy.
By the way, you can tell he's a radio guy because all the basics are covered. He's got the bucket with the waters.
He knows what to do.
We had the hard line set up.
Boom.
If we can get this PA working, we'll be perfect.
Yeah. By the way, he's got the old – we haven't seen one of these probably. This is a pre-COVID speaker.
It's been a minute, yeah.
To blare out to the whole bar. So we're going to have that rocking tomorrow as well. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, our buddy Thom.
That's Thom's music.
Unofficially, we're calling it Thom's Watch Bar, but we're enjoying a day with him at his sportsbook here at Hollywood Casino. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30. Jay Gruden at 5 tonight. Logan Paulson at 6. The Commanders trying to shock the world in Cincinnati.